Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Easier. And Rob, I saw a story today that I just loved.
I know you did, because I almost fell off my couch.
How could it was Major League Baseball releasing an ad that basically denounced the quote unquote unwritten rules of the game. Don't flip your bat. Don't stop and stare at a home run you just hit. Respect the jersey. All this foolishness that we've heard for decades in baseball, and baseball itself basically threw all that away and said, now it's time to have fun. Wear your hat backwards. They showed Ken Griffey doing that. Fling the bat. You know, I don't know. I can't remember who the player was. They showed flinging the bat. The teammates can rip your jersey in celebration. You can stop it stare when you take one deep. Who cares if the pitcher feels disrespected? I love it. Finally, in 2018, baseball is waking up and saying we have to appeal to the young folks, the millennials, the hip-hop generation. It's a different day, and now we see that. I'm not going to say they're woke, but they're getting there.
Wasn't he on Star Wars? Oh, that was a Wookiee. I was a Wookiee, right? No, I'm sorry.
And you didn't like it?
No, I just, because there's nothing wrong. What are you trying to fix? Baseball polices itself. That's not the reason that people aren't going to watch the game. When Bautista hit that home run in the playoffs a couple years ago and flipped his bat.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. I didn't have any problem with it, but if another guy wants to buzz you, the next time up, it's okay. You just get buzzed.
No, it's not okay. You going to buzz him because he flung a bat?
You could buzz
that's
him.
That's like somebody giving me an elbow to the jaw because I just dunked on him. I mean, come on.
I just don't think it really – I was just shocking to see that they put that out
shocking there.
It was. You know, you had to be like, what? What is this?
Yeah, I was stunned.
And you thought it was somebody else put it out, right?
Nike or something. Yeah.
Right.
But baseball itself, but they know. Look, their average age of their average fan is like 54 years old.
No, it's not. I wish they'd stop saying
that.
That's not true.
How you know it's not true?
Because
how you know it's not true? That's what all the surveys say.
I go to ball games all the time. I'm just saying, you don't know how many young people I see. I went to my best friend lives in D.C., Fred. We go, every time I visit him, we go to a Nationals game. And Fred, we're up in the bleachers, you know, hanging out or whatever. And there are millennials, 18, 20-year-olds, they got their Washington Nationals hat. It's a group of four or six kids.
It's a lot of senior citizens,
and they're just hanging out. Seniors don't go. They don't spend. they don't have that kind of money to just go to a ball game like that. It's not true.
I'm just telling you what the
it's not 54. Come on, man. That doesn't even make any sense.
But you know that's what they say.
If it's 54, then that means 80-year-olds are going to be able to, for the average age to be 54.
Hey, I'm just telling you what the survey says.
Kids are there like
the people who
are
doing the work are saying.
Well, they're wrong. I go all the time.
You know, that's what it is. But I wish they would have addressed the unwritten rule of you get to throw at a batter because his pitcher hit you or
you're
something
not,
like
you're
that.
Not, well, if they hit one of your star players because you get a home run or you're winning too big.
But they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't do that. That should be out. Referees or umpires should be able to eject a pitcher if they determine that he hit a player on purpose.
But what if it's – you got to be careful. That's why they give him a warning if it slips. I mean, it's nobody's perfect.
No,
if everybody was perfect,
right.
You would throw
it's
all strikes.
Call.
Do you know what I'm saying? So, Chris,
but
ball does get away.
But you're giving players the benefit of the doubt like they know. Like, so if a pitcher hits a batter and then the next team's pitcher is going to come out and hit one of their batters.
The team
clearly knew he threw at him on purpose.
But right.
In most cases, Rob, you know this. In most cases, we all kind of know they hit him on purpose.
You do know because of the scenario or circumstance, right? You don't normally hit a guy if, say, There's nobody out. There's two outs and nobody on, and you're leading by one. You're not trying to put a base runner on, right? Would you try to hit a guy?
Right.
No, you wouldn't try to hit a guy in that circumstance.
But I'm saying in those, that's what I mean. In those situations where we believe it's clearly the pitcher hit the guy on purpose, I think the umpire should be able to eject him. And then that, so then the other team wouldn't have to come back and retaliate with a pitch that hits one of their guys.
I got it.
Players don't need to police. I mean, I like when football players, they used to police themselves too. But they took that away, so why does baseball get to police itself?
I just don't think that it really takes away from the game. I don't think people are like, oh, my God, I'm not going to a game. He just threw at that guy. Now, if you're,
it doesn't
if you're,
take away from the game.
If you're
I'm
being
saying,
people, now that's different. That's you don't belong. That baseball is a lethal weapon. So if you're hitting people in the head, you don't belong in baseball. That I
no,
agree.
I agree with you. It doesn't take away from the game any more than fighting takes away from hockey. A lot of people actually like the fighting in hockey.
Oh, and a lot I'm of fans were saying, mad that they took it out of hockey.
Right. Well, but that's my point is everywhere else – we're trying to make things safer and make things more civil. You know, football coach can't even grab a face mask anymore,
stop.
Which used to be commonplace.
That's abuse right there.
That's
straight
abuse.
Up abuse.
Come on. That is not abuse. That happens all the time
it's
in not, football.
It doesn't make it right, Chris, just because somebody
it's
wants to grab
big,
you.
He didn't hit the kid.
You shouldn't be grabbing nobody. It's if
why
a,
not?
If another player did that, it would be. We're going to talk about this
that's
later.
That's because it's a
we're
player.
We're
going to
talk about it.
That's right. We'll get to that. But my point is everywhere, we want things done, you know, be more polite. You know, don't be rude. Don't hurt anybody's feelings. Why is baseball? Baseball is the only place on earth that you get to do what you used to do and throw at somebody because it's an unwritten rule. Not in football, not in hockey, not in anything else but baseball. Come on.
No, but the game has a different vibe and feel and fabric to it
what?
Than these
what?
Other sports.
What?
Yes.
What?
Major League
I mean,
Baseball.
Seriously, what?
I'm serious. It's just totally different.
That's hogwash.
Ridiculous.
That's some balderdash.
No, it
that's
ain't.
That's some poppycock.
Poppycock.
What did you say? You said feel, vibe.
It has a vibe.
Atmosphere. What is that?
It's
explain
a part
that
of,
to
it's
me.
A part of our fabric in this country. And the difference in baseball is that it's a nuance in the game, an unwritten rule. You're supposed to know if there's a no-hitter going, you don't butt in the ninth inning of a 5-0 game.
Fine.
You don't.
I'm
you
not,
don't. And you know what they would
about that.
But they would fight somebody if you tried to bunt to break up a no-hitter in the ninth
fight.
Inning if you were down 5-0. I'm not talking about 1-0. It's totally different cuz you got a bloop or a blast and you could win the game, right? So I'm not talking about that. But if you're up and your team's losing 4 or 5 runs, you better not bunt in the ninth inning. That's one of those
so
unwritten
I'm
rules.
Be a spoiled brat.
You better
and,
not
and
steal.
Hit you.
You better not steal a base
a
either. You're
well,
up 13-0, Chris.
You see in the NBA when a team is getting blown out, and you know somebody scores a basket at the end of the play. We saw fights over that. My thing is this: when pro athletes complain about somebody running up the score or something like that, if you're so mad about it, stop them. Stop them. Don't be so bad that they're just running up the score on
they
you.
Do stop them. They told them. They throw a little chin with, music to tell right. them that they better cool out.
I can't believe you, Rob. You're Mr. Safety. Mr. You know, orange jacket.
I am. No doubt about it.
You're Mr. Safety everywhere else. Boxing, they should put on headgear. MMA should be outlawed. Football, we want flags. No more tackling. But baseball, throw that lethal weapon, your own words, at the guy. Come on, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I've been a fan of his for decades since he was even named Chris Jackson back at Louisiana State University. Embrace Islam. Now he's named Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, former NBA veteran and current co-captain of the three-headed monsters of the Big Three. Mahmoud, welcome to the Odd Couple.
Oh, it's a pleasure. How you doing?
Man, we're doing great. I got to see you down at the NABJ convention in New Orleans a couple years ago, and good to have you on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm happy for you guys.
Thank you.
You, of course, in 1996, didn't stand for the national anthem in the NBA when you were playing with the Denver Nuggets, and then decided, you know, to stand and pray. You held your arms out in prayer during the anthem. But pretty much after that season, which was your best in the league, 19.7 assists a game, I think you were blackballed. You know, you played a few more years, but your minutes went down. It really seemed like you were blackballed. And then what was that? Almost 20 years later, about maybe exactly 20 years later, you see Colin Kaepernick hold his protest. What thoughts went through your mind when you saw this building up in the NFL?
Oh, my. The same old game. It was just an indication to me that not much has changed. The fact that I think when you look at the history of sports, athletes have always, when you look at Muhammad Ali, you look at Jack Johnson, there's a history of athletes, the Kaepernicks, using their platform to take social positions. But it's an indication that not much has changed. And I felt that a lot of what he went through was going to happen to him because the same happened to me. The playing time decreased. Of course, there were death threats. There was an attack on his personality. There was this focus on moving away from the true intent of what he was talking about, racial inequality, police brutality, to try to change the subject to the flag and the military. So it wasn't surprising to me at all.
How disappointing is it? Because I always say that players have so much power if they stick together. And unfortunately, when it comes to football and it comes to basketball, sometimes guys don't stick together. And not from the standpoint whether you agree or disagree with Kaepernick, but to allow the league to blackball a player for, what I would say are his rights in being an American citizen. That would bother me as a player that the players or the union would allow that to happen without pushback to the owners. Do you view it like that, or am I off base?
No, I agree with you. It's disheartening. we have an enormous amount of power that we don't utilize, and I mean, it's a two-way street. I mean, you can't have a league without us. For the most part. And it's just, as I said, disheartening to see that it happens. But guys, I understand it. You know, who want to lose out on what they've worked so hard to achieve, you know, their profession? But at some point, you would think that you would take a stand and that you would see the benefits of everybody sticking together. More can be achieved when that happens. But, you know, we're still on that level to where we're thinking about our personal selves, our individual selves. And I've always felt that the society is more important than just the individual because you get more done that way. But we haven't reached that level of collectivism across the board. And they do a good job also in striking that fear in guys. They look, if you do this, and this is why they make a Kaepernick an example. They make me an example, or Craig Hodges an example, because it's going to frighten a lot of other people not to do it. It's that threat of a good example or a bad example, so to speak, that look, you know, this can happen to you. And it's a real threat, but at some point you have to think of longevity and generations and how this could affect, you know, this is what allows it to continue, the fact that we don't collectively stand up.
It's the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. We're joined by Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. Mahmoud, what would you say to those American citizens who are out there listening to us right now who don't understand why you or Colin Kaepernick would sit during the national anthem or not, you know, strike a protest? What would you say to them to get them to kind of understand where you're coming from?
I really don't know. If I could say too much that can make them understand. I mean, I think some of us have become so desensitized in a sense to what we see. We've become so individualistic. We think just of ourselves. But look, man, many of us, especially athletes, most of us are, you know, most of the people that are in the field of sports are African American. And a lot of us have come from poor neighborhood. So we know what it feels like to be poor. We know what it feels like to be misdiagnosed or not to have insurance or medical care. We know what it feels like to be brutalized or to see the brutality, you know, constantly perpetuated on us. So it's hard just because you make it to the league and you all of a sudden have access to wealth. It doesn't mean that you forget about your people or you forget about those things. You still have those people living in those neighborhoods. And so at some point, the Kaepernicks, the Craig Hodges, and all the other people, you know, the Bennetts, the Jenkins, you reconnect, you know, to that history and what you see and what you've been experiencing, and you take those positions. It's the people that sometimes, I guess, they become desensitized and they forget, or they choose to forget, is why they don't understand when people take positions. And those positions are not just for us. Really, it's for everybody. You know, Martin Luther King says injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And if we flip that around, he said it also justice anywhere is a threat to injustice everywhere. So when one group of people are experiencing that, you may not feel it immediately, but it's affecting you. And so I don't know. It's difficult. I don't know really what to say. That was a strong explanation.
Yeah, that was a good explanation.
No doubt about it. Mahmoud, I want to switch over to basketball because that's do you like this NBA? I've had issues, and I know a lot of people. And I came from the school of cover. I've been covering the NBA since 1987, where guys were competitive and didn't want to team up on the same teams and make super teams and then not beat anybody and not have a lot of competition. Do you like this NBA the way it's set up now?
You mean in terms of what you just mentioned?
Yeah, just super teams and, like, you know, like before the season starts, we know the Warriors are going to win again, and they're going to go to the championship for the fifth time in a row. Teams don't want to compete. Guys would rather have an easier route than having to go through, you know, tougher competition.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, no. I don't like that aspect of it. I love to see guys like when I don't mean to say this to pick on him, but when KD was with Oklahoma, he pretty much could get what he wanted, and they almost beat Golden State.
They're right. Yeah. Golden State was down 3-1. Right.
Yeah. Right. So they had a legitimate chance, and you could. With your leverage, along with Russell, you can pretty much kind of work to get what you want. And for me, I mean, I don't know all the dynamics, all the pieces, what was going on with the organization. Sometimes people are just not happy. It may seem like they're happy, but I'm just from that old school, man. If you're over there and I'm over here, I'm not trying to join you. I want to compete against the best. I don't want to join the best because it's about, you know, make, you know, create that legacy for yourself and making a name for yourself. I don't like that part of it. I don't like that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mahmoud, I want to stick with basketball because I got a real good question to ask you. But first, I want to know: have you talked to Colin Kaepernick at all?
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick and I met maybe it's probably going on 2 years now. We have some mutual friends in Oakland. We met in an office. Maybe about 5 of us. And we probably, all of us together, talk for maybe an hour, give or take. No advice was passed. We were just sharing each other's experiences. And if it resonated, take it. If it don't, take it. But he definitely seemed to be a person. He mentioned something that resonated with me. He said that this is the most free that he has ever felt in his life. And that resonated. And when you get to that point, it's like they say Jesus said, you know, the truth will set you free.
Right.
And like, you know, Frederick Douglass, you know, knowledge doesn't befit a man to be a slave. So you operate on a whole nother level now. It's like, look, man, the truth means more to me than anything right now. This career, this money. And I felt him when he said that. And then he went on and showed it with the work that he had did, and I'm sure that he's continuing to do, so he should definitely be celebrated and applauded for that.
Yep, that's right. Well, I want to ask you, basketball-wise, Phil Jackson, you know, Steph Curry about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, just took the NBA by storm, kind of revolutionized it with his three-point shooting. And Phil Jackson, the historic coach, he said that he was asked who Steph reminds him of, and he brought up you. And, you know, a lot of people didn't see the comparison because they looked at your numbers and, you know, obviously you weren't in the league that long before you got blackballed. But do you think, if you played in today's NBA where teams are shooting 30 and 40 three-pointers a game and individual players shoot, you know, can shoot anywhere between 8 and 11, you know, some of the top three-point shooters per game, what type of player do you think you'd be in today's NBA? Would you have become like a superstar and put up crazy numbers, you think?
Well, one other thing they're doing too, some players, man, sometimes are getting like 30 and 40 attempts.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, you know, all of it too depends on the coach that you have and the amount of freedom, quote unquote, that they allow you to have. But definitely, anytime you have a league where you can't really touch them as much, it's like lifting weights. If I'm lifting my hands up 20 times and then I put 20 pounds, resistance is always going to make something harder. The numbers are not going to be the same as if though, you know, now you have somebody touching you as opposed to you don't have somebody touching you.
Because it was hand checking when you played.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, it was hand checking, pushing. You know, especially depending on the team you played. But it definitely made it tougher back then. Now, it's almost like shooting practice. You can create space, and the guy can't even, I mean, he can't put his hand on you. It's a whole nother ball. And then it's now a guard's game. The traditional big man is not even there anymore. It's like they're looking to stretch people out and looking for the three more than the two. It's like DeRozan. It's like to be
a dinosaur
at the two corner, even though it's a beautiful thing. It's like, well, you know, we still prefer you to be a three-point shooter. It's crazy.
But it would have been nice for you, huh?
Oh. Well, you know, I mean, I pride myself off being able to get my shot off, whether off the dribble or either coming off screens, coming off pick and rolls. So definitely it would have been interesting. I don't know what I would have done, but I know I would have loved playing in this type of system.
All right, Mahmoud, they're rushing me. We got to go to break.
But,
man, thanks a lot. Great stuff on the basketball and on the history. So thanks a lot, man. Good luck with everything you're doing.
Thank you, and likewise, man. Much success to you.
All right, appreciate it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, look, it's always great when you've got a reason to talk about LeBron James. And Rob Parker, even though it is a huge night in baseball, even though we are right entering the meat of the NFL season, there is a reason to talk about LeBron James.
Who, me?
And it is because
he got another movie coming out? Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that plus, but there's some basketball stuff,
okay,
too.
Oh, okay, good. All right,
He is holding it down in Hollywood. Yes. Don't get it twisted. He is holding it down in Hollywood, and nothing wrong with that. You didn't get mad when Shaq did Kazam.
You didn't get mad when Michael Jordan did
Space Jam.
No, but they didn't have 10 movies at the same time.
Chris Webber, your boy in Detroit, was rapping. And Allen Iverson and Damian Lillard and all these rappers, why are you going to get mad at LeBron for handling business?
Hey, do whatever you got to do, man. I'm just do whatever you got to do.
Well, look, last night, his debut at the Staples Center as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. And the key to him being able to do his stuff off the court without criticism from me is if he handles his business on the court. And thus far, he has looked like he is every bit as good as he's ever been. He's shooting the three. Well, I know it's preseason, but I'm just saying.
Go ahead.
He's passing the ball well.
I mean, Chris, really.
He's shooting the ball well. He's running the floor well. And he sold out the Staples Center, of course. Plenty of LJ jerseys. You saw none of the haters that we thought we might see because, you know, they love Kobe and they think it's a competition between Kobe and LeBron, which it isn't. So it was a great night. And beyond that, most general manager or more okay. the most
let
general
me,
manager.
Let me just say
30%
this.
30% of the GMs. Oh, you got more?
Yeah,
you
I just want to say. I just want to say one thing about last night. Did he cheat the fans because he only played 15 minutes, or was
no,
that good?
No, it's preseason.
Okay. I'm just asking. If I bought like
you
a
think,
ticket.
Do you think he did?
For $500 to go see a preseason game and he played 15 minutes, was I good with that?
If you didn't know he was only going to play 15 minutes, something's wrong.
I probably
He's
will.
In his 16th year.
I'm
Why
asking.
Should he play more than
I'm
15
just
minutes?
Saying. I paid
You're
$500
lucky
for the ticket.
15.
All right.
Enjoy the 15 you got. You know that. Yeah, you know it. See, you couldn't even say it with a straight face.
Can't do
but
it.
But beyond that, Rob, there's more news. I told you yesterday that LeBron James is going to win the MVP. Okay?
And we got a bet on it, correct?
Yes, we do. We have wings. I'm sure it's wings.
Yes,
I can't
of course.
Yeah,
it's always
sure
wings.
Yeah.
And let's make it big enough so that we can share it with the crew. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. We'll take the whole crew out, including the interns.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Is that's on the loser, though? The loser paying all that?
Yes, the loser has to pay all for right. wings for everybody. Absolutely. Right. That's all how right. we do it. We got to take care of the crew. And,
wow.
And of course, Alex will eat everybody's celery.
Yeah, I'll get the celery and carrots.
Right.
Exactly.
And we'll gladly give you that.
And they'll probably make some buckwheat wings for him.
Yes, they do. Do they have veggie wings, Alex?
No, not there yet. They're trying to incorporate it, but they don't have it yet.
I actually had a veggie chicken patty today.
Oh, you
lunch.
Loved it, right?
It was good.
What?
I love it. As long as you put enough honey mustard and barbecue sauce.
Basically,
on
you're covering up the taste.
Good.
What do you mean? You got to have the bones.
It's
you got to have the structure.
It's fine when you put all that on it.
Chris,
oh, come on.
It was
Chris,
delicious,
you
actually.
Know you almost threw up in your mouth when you bit that.
No, because I love honey mustard and barbecue mix. It was delicious. I have no idea what the veggie patty tastes like.
See? Right.
It was tasty. I'll
or
tell you
know,
that.
Right. Did the veggie burger have a tail on it or not?
Stop.
But Rob, yes. My point. Don't you trying to you trying to distract me because you know you don't want to hear this.
I'm listening.
The NBA. One of the great things I always look forward to in the preseason is the NBA GM poll. The general managers, they pick, you know, who they think is going to be the MVP, who they think is going to win the championship, who they think is going to meet in the finals, most improved, so on and so forth. All that, and 30% of the general managers, which was the highest number, because you got James Harden and Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard and other great players. 30%, the most, picked LeBron James to win his fifth MVP this
so
season.
So you mean 70% didn't pick
on the show last
So 70%
night.
Didn't pick him, right?
Yeah, but they no more than 30, not even 30% picked anybody else. So, in other words, according to the GMs, LeBron James is the favorite to win the MVP award this year. And I concur. I told you, 53 wins for the Lakers, and LeBron's the MVP. This will be his last MVP. It'll match Michael Jordan's 5. He will be the oldest, well, not the oldest player ever to win. Karl Malone won it at 35. But LeBron would be the player to win it the latest in his career.
Okay.
His 16th season, Karl Malone won it in his 14th.
Can I?
That will be quite an accomplishment. I don't think you'll be able to hate on that.
I guess I will. I'll just tell you straight up. This is the hysteria of LeBron James and the Lakers. Chris, last year, those same general managers, guess what? Last year, Chris, I know you're not ready for this. But they pick LeBron 50% to win the MVP, right? That's what they pick. 50%, KD was second. Guess who won the MVP? Who got 7% of the vote from the GM? Yes, it was Harden. So this whole idea or notion, oh, the GMs, they think LeBron's going to win the MVP because he's unbelievable. They thought he was unbelievable a year ago, Chris Broussard.
He was.
They picked him at 50% and he didn't win. He wasn't even the runner-up. He wasn't even the runner-up. Harden was number one.
Who was the runner? Was you sure he
was? Oh, wasn't? Wait a minute. No, who was?
I think he was the runner-up.
All right. I should say he won.
I voted for Harden. I thought it should have been Harden.
He should have been Harden, but I'm talking about he was.
But
He was,
I think LeBron was second. It doesn't matter who's second, but I think he was second.
But I'm just saying, the funny thing is, this is the talk. He went down from a year ago. Yeah. He was 50% last year, 30% this year, and people are like, oh, LeBron's the favorite to win the MVP. They didn't look at last year. Oh, LeBron, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. He's going to go to the Lakers. He's going to win the MVP. He's going to win 53 games. They're going to go to the Western Conference Finals. It's hogwash, poppycock. I don't know what other word to use. And you know what, Chris?
Balderdash.
Yes, balderdash. You've heard that the L.A. Lakers will turn into a sitcom. You know that? Do you remember the show Eight is Enough? The show was going to be called Not Enough. And that's what LeBron and the Lakers are going to be turned into. Not Enough. Because when they don't do what everybody thinks they're going to do, they're going to say about LeBron. What do you expect? He doesn't have anybody. He doesn't have a big star, a second star. You can't expect him to do anything. This is what's set up for him. It's going to be disappointment. And people will then make excuses for LeBron James. That's what's going to happen. He's not winning an MVP at season
that,
number 16.
You say that matter of fact.
No,
like,
he won't win.
Why not? I don't believe it. Not going to be good enough?
I don't believe it. I don't believe
so
it.
Who
the team won't be good enough. The team won't win enough games to put him under consideration. If they win 44 games, 43 games,
no,
like I'm judging, he won't win an MVP.
That's one reason I've picked over 50, because I do think LeBron really wants this MVP. Now, I don't think he's going to come out there and say anything about chasing Michael Jordan anymore. I don't think. Because he knows he can't, whether he says it or not. He's not a stupid guy. He knows it's going to be nearly impossible for him to win six championships. And even if he does, he's still got the losses on his record.
And here's the other part, Chris.
He can't match Jordan. He understands, Rob, his road to being the GOAT. It has to be individual. And that doesn't mean you don't want to win. Of course you want to win. You're going to try your best to win. You're going to give it your all. But he knows if he leaves the game as the highest scoring player in NBA history, most points, top 10 in assists, the only player ever to be top 5 scoring, top 5 in all-time assists. He's got same number of MVPs as Jordan. He's been to more finals than Jordan, even though he didn't win. You know, that will be his, and he can say, you know, maybe I led three teams to the championship, which no other player has done. And I was the oldest player, or at least the latest in my career, to win an MVP, because longevity is going to be part of his argument. I think that's what he's trying to build toward.
All right, I hear you, but I just don't think – I think Father Time will remain undefeated, and LeBron will not be able to get there. And I think people will look back, and they'll make an excuse on why the Lakers aren't what the team that they thought they were. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm going to lay out the scenario. I already know what's going to happen. And then they'll be like, well, wait till next year when we get another player. Wait until next year when we get when he gets another star. That's what the narrative will be. Wait till next year when he gets somebody. I'm telling you, I've seen this movie before. He's not going to win the MVP because he's not going to win enough games. And Durant or somebody on the Warriors, they might win. They might win, set a record and win 75 games. I mean,
Durant could. If the
Warriors, they win 75 games, what are you going to say?
Well, I think this is Durant's best chance since he's been in Golden State to win an MVP. You know, I think all of the, even though Durant doesn't seem to let it go, I think all the talk about, you know, he's gone to this great team, we all remember it, of course, but people have gotten past that. People are like, look, he delivers in the finals, in the big moments. Some think he's the best player in the world. I think if they go out and win 70-plus games, Durant could win the MVP. So, look, I think there's challenges. I mean, a lot of it, to your point, depends on how many games you win. Not since 1982 has a player won the MVP award without at least 50 wins. It happened once, and that was Russell Westbrook. Since
and he did something special that
exactly.
Nobody had done in, what, 40 years?
Well, yeah, since Oscar Robertson.
Since the 60s.
And averaged a triple-double. And I was a voter, and I voted for Westbrook solely because he got a triple-double. That was it. And it was deserved. It was historic. You had to give it to him. Now, even if LeBron averaged a triple-double and they didn't win 50 games, I don't think he'd get it. Because we've seen a triple-double before now.
Exactly.
Recently.
And the other
Westbrook
part of
did
this,
it again last year.
One last thing is LeBron, you want LeBron to fill up the stat sheet and be tired come postseason by trying to put up numbers to win an MVP? I just don't think at this age that's what you're trying to do.